Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the foothills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is December 13th, 2018. The world is in turmoil. Most still don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin in the world and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. I pray you heard the sound of the shofar. If so, you need to heed the warning. That's what it's about. Get right now before it's too late. Please make a choice for Yeshua tonight, if you have not already. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. Phone number, 620-878-4682. And emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Please try to text that first, because I keep getting a lot of solicitors, and I don't answer it all the time. You can always find updates of the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all on our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Now, remember, folks, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's live on YouTube, on some FM stations. So please pray about supporting airtime. It's not free. We have to pay for it. On another note, let's thank our listener bases out there, like Tokyo, Japan. Tokyo, Japan, the last 2 weeks has had more downloads from the podcast than any other place. So hello to you folks over there in Tokyo, Stockholm, Sweden, Guyana, Venezuela, and, of course, cities in the middle of the United States, which Washington, D.C. I think the CIA, FBI, and all those guys are over there listening to them, because I can't picture Congress people actually listening to the radio program, and we do have a lot of listeners over there. Plano, Texas, Santa Ana, California, and, of course, Wichita generally always is the biggest group of listeners, at least when it goes to podcast later tonight. Remember, follow us at Twitter, Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. Now a prayer, and we'll get into a really good program with one of your favorite guests. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, Father, I really pray radio tonight goes according to your will, not ours, Father. Please give everyone ears in which to understand and hear the truth. Lift the veil from their eyes tonight and ears, Father. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, we ask that you bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, the so-called Me Too movement is really getting more and more crazy. With this last week or so, they decided now that Yahweh basically raped Mary. Really? Wow. So tonight we bring back on with us somebody that I think can cover the topics that we're going to talk about better than just about anybody I can think of, because people from all different backgrounds listen to him. We're talking about Pastor Carl Gallup. I'm sure he has something to say about this, and that's kind of cheating, because I know he did a audio about it, but you know what, folks? I didn't listen to it intentionally. He is a best-selling author. He's a senior pastor since 1987. He's a radio talk host, heard nationally and internationally. He's on TV and radio. He's a guest commentator. He's a former decorated Florida law enforcement officer, which gives him a special background. He's the founder of P.P. Simmons News and Ministry Network, and he's also a member of the Board of Regents at the University of Mobile in Mobile, Alabama. Carl has written 6 books now, The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, The Magic Man in the Sky, Final Warning, Be Thou Prepared, When the Lion Roars, Gods and Thrones, and his latest book is Gods of Ground Zero, all great books. But before I welcome Carl, let me make this statement to the folks, and so also Carl knows where I'm coming from. Christmas, no, here at Messiah's Branch, we don't do Christmas with our level of understanding, we believe that Yeshua was conceived during Hanukkah and born during Tabernacles. But I do not attack Christians who believe in celebrating Christmas. Yes, I might talk about it with some folks as a discussion, but we do not attack Christmas or Christians, nor do I wish to debate it with anybody. When someone says to me, Merry Christmas, I generally say, Happy Hanukkah, or be very blessed. What I do see in this whole thing is a level of hatred towards Christmas and Christians that is a demonic level, and that's what I believe. It's all about attacking Christians and denying Yeshua, Jesus Christ, if you will, and that, folks, is the spirit of Antichrist. So, welcome, Pastor Carl. I pray I didn't freak you out.
No, you haven't freaked me out. I'm right there with you, Brother Dan. Pastor Dan, it's so good to be back with you. I'm always honored when you have me back.
Well, amen. Carl, I really love having you on. And, you know, you have great, everybody can listen to you. I really do say that because I have a broad audience. Some people are Messianic. Some are just straight Jews. Some are this or that or the other. And, you know, they all listen to you because, you know, you plead your case very well. I believe you're very easily understood. And you have a great background. And so, amen, Carl. I love having you back, and you became very dear to my heart to have you on. Yeah. So thanks for being on with me.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Yeah, the Lord put us together a long time ago, and thank you for your gracious introduction. Hey, I just want to say that, and the numbers don't matter, but just so that your audience will know, because this coming year, 2019, I have two brand new books coming out, one in February, and I told you that as soon as I could tell you about it, I would. So
yeah.
I can tonight. We've got the website built, the cover is already done, the book is edited, it's being printed right now. February 1st will be the first day that it will be released. And it is the follow-up. It is the second part, but you don't have to read the first part, of one of your favorite books that I've ever written. The book that I wrote first was called The Rabbi Who Found Messiah.
Oh, really?
The brand new book is called The Rabbi, The Secret Message, and the Identity of Messiah. It is written with Messianic Rabbi Zev Peratt, and it goes so much deeper into everything that has happened since then, what's happening inside of Israel, what's happening around the world, the deep state of Israel, the supernatural events that surround this story. The entire backstory is told of the relationship between Zev and me and how all that happened, what has happened to Zev in the course of these years, what has happened to me, what has happened to this story, new evidence that's come forward, new witnesses that have come forward, personal attacks, plus a lot of good teaching on the scriptures, the meaning of words, the things that Kaduri literally said, and we have it. We've got the documentation of it now. I mean, it's just going to absolutely, really, it's going to just supersede the first book. And that book was published in 5 different languages, and a documentary movie was made about it. This one is being published by Defender Publishers, Tom Horn and those guys, Skywatch Television.
Right.
They are my publishers. And the book is, as I said, it's already in their hands and being printed right now. But they're also sending me to Israel in May with a film crew, and they're going to make a documentary movie about this book. Of course, the book will be released in February, but sometime around June or July, the documentary movie about the book will also come out. So I'm thrilled about that. And then in October, I'm releasing another book, which will be the third in the series of Gods and Thrones and Gods of Ground Zero. And I'm not allowed to say the title of that one yet, but those two are coming out. That'll make a total of 9 books. Gods of Ground Zero, which is out right now and still going crazy all over the world, that's the 7th book, and the Lord has just blessed it and blessed it. And a big, huge part of that blessing is being on your show talking about the things that God has put on my heart.
Amen. Let me say a couple of things. You've covered a couple of subjects, so I'd like to say something about it. First off, Carl, the absolute first book that I ever read was The Magic Man in the Sky, and we talked about that, and I am still in love with that book to this day. I believe people should have it on their coffee table. Having said that, you left everybody hanging there, brother, with the rabbi who found Messiah, because there's just so much more. And so I'm glad now you're finally going to do something that, no, really, that's great. I cannot wait to really get into a more in-depth conversation. Of course, I know now Skywatch, which I really like, folks, Skywatch, you can find it at, I think it's just Skywatch Radio, I think, or is it Skywatch TV, one of the two. But they are really great publishers. In fact, Carl, they have me on the list. And I just got a couple of new books from them the other day. They weren't your books, but they were a couple other books. And they do a really, really great job of covering a lot of things. They've got a new one out right now about the New Age movement, I think it is, that I'm reading. But they are really a good publisher. That's fantastic that they'll send you to Israel to make a documentary, is because, like I say, with the rabbi that found Messiah, you know, that the people read the book, but, you know, I was able to show that at my mission church, and, boy, it was just dynamite. You can go ahead and comment.
Thank you. Yeah, well, let me just share some things about all of that.
Go ahead. Let's talk about this in the first half.
Okay, I appreciate it. Well, first of all, yeah, listen, I am so excited about this. I can't even hardly breathe. And the reason is because I know what's in the book. I know what has happened, the stuff that Zev and I have been dying to tell people. This book is written more like a novel. I mean, the first book I thought was pretty good, and people all over the world loved it, but it was more of an investigative journalist kind of investigator type, you know, reading.
Right.
And that's good. This book does that too, but this book is like it's like reading a novel. It's like reading Raiders of the Lost Ark. I mean, and let me just give you some testimony. Now, this is anecdotal, I know, and it's a little self-serving for me to say this, but I didn't put these words in these people's mouths. I've got two editors that edit my material, professional editors. It's the first one goes through it four or five times, gets it all cleaned up for the final editor, which is then turned over to them, and they spend weeks and weeks and weeks, and they send it back and forth to me. We make all the changes and corrections. And so what I'm trying to tell you is, before I even turn my manuscript over to the first editor, I have read and adjusted and reread that book probably, oh gosh, at least 20 times. And then the first editor will read it a good 6 or 7 times and scrubbing it. We call it the scrubbing process. Then the second editor will read through it 2 or 3 or 4 times, doing the final tweaking and getting everything correct, checking every reference, checking every word I say to make sure it's correct. Okay. Here's the deal. I don't care how much I've enjoyed writing the book, Gods of Ground Zero was one of my favorite in the world to write.
Yeah.
And then of course, this, the Rabbi book, and I was writing it at the same time I was just finishing up Gods of Ground Zero, and a lot of people didn't know that. And I was just overwhelmed by the information that's in there. This is going to bless the hearts of Jews who are searching for truth. Now, Jews who don't want to know about Jesus, they're not going to like this book. But Jews who are searching for truth are going to be blown away. But just as importantly, this book is so understandable to Western Christians, because I've just really answered all the questions, all the objections down through the years. People said, yeah, but if Kaduri really had this? Why not that? How can you say this? How can you say that? So I've answered all of that, plus I've told all of Zeb's backstory, all of my backstory, all of the backstory as to the supernatural events that put all this together, and then everything that's happened since then. And like I said, it reads like a novel. Now,
right.
So when I sent it to the first editor, at the end of about that 6th or 7th read, the editor contacted me and said, I got to tell you something. This book, I was engrossed in it. And she said, you know, I read it over and over and over, and I was correcting and tweaking and correcting your bad grammar and your horrible spelling and your and all these things. And she said, but every time I read it, she said, I was engrossed in it. She says, this is the most amazing book I've ever read. Now, those are her words, okay?
Right.
I'm not bragging. I don't know that I agree with that. I'm just telling you what she said after reading it 6 times at that level. Then I sent it to the main publisher, or the last publisher, the one that would do all of the final tweaking and checking all of my resources, et cetera. I mean, they literally do that, brother. I'll have I'll have 300 references, notes. They will go to every one, and they will double-check behind me to make sure I've quoted it properly, to make sure I've referenced it properly. I mean, when you read one of these books published by Defender Publishing, you can count on it. And that publisher, I mean, that editor, not knowing anything that the first editor had said, wrote me an email and said the same thing, said, I got to tell you, my first time reading it, I was blown away. But she said I was really, really working hard. It got easier and easier to work on it because, you know, the editing process is now finally reaching the final point. And she wrote me another one on the last one. She says, the last time I read this, she said, I was thinking this is one of the best books I have ever read. So I'm just saying, I think God's going to use this, brother, not only because of the revelation that's in it, this true story of Yitzhak Kaduri, but where it's gone now, the fact that Zev is involved. And you got to understand, Zev's whole family, they knew Yitzhak Kaduri. Zev's granddaddy knew this man personally. Ariel Sharon, who's a part of this story, spent the night in Zev's grandparents' house. Zev's family are deeply embedded in the Israeli government on his mother's side. On his father's side, they're deeply embedded in the rabbinical courts of Israel. So this book has a lot of punch to it, and I tried to write it in a fashion that anybody sitting on any pew in a church can understand it, and then they're not only going to learn this story, but they're going to learn a lot about the Word of God.
Yeah, amen. Okay. Breathe for a minute, Carl. No, I'm joking. I mean, you should be excited, brother. You really should be excited. And, you know, I just like to pick on you, so.
I don't mind.
Know,
man.
And I did feel, you know, for the folks, I did feel like when I finished the book and the movie, it was like, you know, I want to know more. And so, you know, I'm a researcher and I did a lot of research, and then, you know, I found, Zev, you know, and I talked with Zev a few times, and then, you know, I get his email updates and everything. And so I've been following the story. Zev is really another part of the story. Without him, the story to where it is right now is greatly lacking, don't you think?
Yes. Which is why we did this second book. And I mean, this is just amazing. I'm just telling you, it's amazing. Not my writing, but the book, the information, the story. It's amazing. Yeah.
Well, Carl, I got to say, you know, your writing is really good. You know, I read a lot of books. You stepped into my office over here. You know, I have everywhere books. Like I say, I just got a whole bunch of them from Defenders Publishing, and even a DVD yesterday I haven't even looked at. I think it's called The Belly of the Beast. Point is so I read a lot. I haven't published anything myself, but I read a lot. And, you know, some books, it can be a short book and it takes you forever and a day to get through it. But, you know, your books, they carry you through, and especially with your writing style. And that, folks, that have got to say about Gods and Thrones and Gods of Ground Zero. And that's great that you have another one in the series, because that's even lacking. There's more to the story. But the point is, the way that you're writing right now with those books, especially you're writing the way that Pastor Carl talks. And that's great. You're also writing in a mannerism that makes it easy for people because, you know, I don't know about whether you, and I think you understand this, but most people don't, their attention span isn't just like it used to be. I mean, you know, So the shorter chapters and the way that you present the ideas, you know, it just makes it really great and makes it really readable. And so, now what are you calling this book? You said you could give the name. What is the name of the book?
Yeah, the new book? Yeah, it's called The Rabbi, The Secret Message, and The Identity of Messiah. And then the subtitle, which is down at the very bottom of the book, is it says, The Expanded True Story of Israeli Rabbi Yitzhak Kaduri and How His Stunning Revelation of the Genuine Messiah is Still Shaking the Nations. And so the title of the book is The Rabbi, The Secret Message, and The Identity of Messiah. Now, your listeners can look at this and read a lot about it. Very soon they'll be able to read some of the chapters. There's a link for that now, but it a little thing pops up and says not available yet, but coming soon. But the website is up and running. All they have to do is go to my site, carlgallops.com, and then /rabbi, carlgallops.com/rabbi, and they'll see it. Or, that's the best way to do it, carlgallops.com/rabbi.
/rabbi. Okay, I will put that out all over the place, Carl. I'll put it out everywhere. Well, of course, I promote your work because, you know, it's important. I'm not just sitting here trying to brag on Carl because he's one of my favorite guests, but, you know, it's the work that you do, Carl, and the way that the Father's using you. You know, I also believe I've listened to you for a long time. You said a lot of things that you never called prophetic or meant to be prophetic, but my brother, you've been so dead on right about so many things, whether it's been Trump or other things. So, amen. You've been put on my heart, period. I promote your work, and I believe everybody should read your work. Thanks needed. But about this book, man, this is fantastic. I have been really waiting for a follow-up to this. And, you know, while I can find bits and pieces of this and that, nobody has the whole story but you and Zev, actually.
That's right.
Back to you.
About a minute. Okay, yeah, I wrote the first and only book on it, and now this is the second and only second book on it, and by major publishers. And this one, you don't have to have read the first book. I mean, this one will tell the story again, but it's not just a repeat. I mean, it's much shorter telling the main story. And then I go into where it is today, all of the backstory stuff. I mean, literally. Well, let me just read you what Tom Horn said. He said, more than a mere accounting of a stunning true story, this book reads like a thrilling mystery novel. On top of that, you'll get a biblical education like you could have never imagined. If this gripping saga were not so well documented, the reader would have a hard time believing that what they were reading is a nonfiction book. Tom Horn wrote that. He fell in love with it. He read it. He said, oh, my gosh. He says, you better let me publish this book. I said, well, I will, brother. I will.
I really like Tom Horn and his whole group over there at Defender, you know, at Skywatch TV. You know, they're a pretty good group of guys, and they put out a lot of materials, you know. Like I say, I just got pumped with about 3 books and a couple of DVDs that I'm going to try and catch up on real quickly so I can have some other people on. But anyway, Paul, we're going to go to break, but first I want you to tell them again the name of the book, how to find the book one more time, even though I'm going to put the link out, and then we'll go to break. We'll come back and talk about some other stuff.
Okay, yeah, thank you. Yeah, the name of the book is The Rabbi, The Secret Message, and The Identity of Messiah. The best way is just to go to my website, carlgallops.com. Across the top of the page, you'll see a banner that advertises Gods of Ground Zero because it's still going crazy. They can click on that banner. And as you scroll down, you'll see this new book advertised. You can click on it, and it'll go right to this new book's website as well. Or you can just go to carlgallops.com/rabbi. And it's already, I think, on Amazon, and Books a Million and all of that. But, again, it doesn't release till February 1st. Now, Amazon says March the 1st, but that's a misprint by Amazon. We're already in the process of correcting it. It actually releases February 1st, 2019.
Okay, well, folks, we're going to go for about 3 minutes, and we'll come back and talk.
Don't go away. Pastor Dan will be right back.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's French Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. And, folks, we usually talk about the Mission Church right now, but I'm going to save that for the last 5 minutes of the program because I'm excited. I love the guests I have on tonight, and we're talking about been talking about his book and some other things. So just bringing back on. Carl, you still there or ready?
Yes, sir. I'm still here, brother.
Okay. Well, hey, man, I thought you might have went to sleep for a minute because, you know, I was going to blab about the church. So, you know.
Yeah. No, hey, man, I'm here. I'm ready to go, brother.
I know. Hey, man. I want to ask you about something else. I do feel like we're kind of not at the end of the book we were talking about. It wouldn't take you very long to – I sent you a thing. Did you get that message that I sent you about what I wanted to talk about, yes or no?
Oh, yes, I did. Uh-huh.
Okay, because it really bugs me. But
yeah, we can talk about that. I can do it quickly or take some time, whichever way you want me to do it.
Well, it's just because I think you should give them something brief still about the rabbi who found Messiah, the people that absolutely were going, what are they talking about?
Yes. Yeah, I'll be glad to. Yeah,
right, let's do that and then save about 10 minutes or something for that or whatever. That's more important right now.
Okay, well, thank you. Well, listen, I'm going to tell you something, brother. Your audience is getting the exclusive announcing interview on this, and I don't know. My publishers might not even want me to do this, but I don't care because I love you, and you've been so supportive of me and the books that I've written, and I know you really loved this story. And the last time I was with you, I was teasing it, and I told you that as soon as I could announce it, I would. Well, I know that I can at least announce it because it's now, as I said, it's posted on Amazon, et cetera, but it's not really, you know, I mean, we're not really
pushing it.
Yeah. But
yeah, we're going on the backstory. You know, now I'm asking you about the backstory, so that should be safe.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. No, I can tell you anything. But the thing is, of course, you don't want me to give the whole book away, but the bottom line is this. It's about the Israel's most venerated rabbi in Israel's modern history, Yitzhak Kaduri. In 2006, he died at the age of 108. There were 300,000 people at his funeral in Jerusalem. The streets of Jerusalem were closed for 2 days because of this funeral. The president of Israel at the time gave the eulogy. He was deeply connected to Ariel Sharon, the prime minister at that time. He was also deeply connected to Benjamin Netanyahu. In fact, was instrumental in having Benjamin Netanyahu get elected the very first time. He was known all over the world. He had a website, Kaduri.net, which is still run by his organization. He was the Billy Graham of the Orthodox rabbi Jews, if you will. In other words, his face, his material was known all over the world in the same way that if you put Billy Graham's face on the cover of anything without having his name under it, you would know who it was. Yitzhak Kaduri was that kind of Billy Graham of the Jews, if you will. But the deal is, just a few months before he died, he revealed to his synagogue congregation, and now we found out, of course, that he had already revealed this amazing truth to a select group of his students who we still have personal contact with now, who verified stuff that's in this book, this new book, that he had already revealed to them. But he told his synagogue on October 2005 that he had met the real Messiah in a vision. He knew the name of the real Messiah. He was going to be leaving that name in a note, and that Messiah would not literally come. He was coming soon, but he would not come until Ariel Sharon had died. Well, when Kaduri said that in October 2005, Ariel Sharon was still alive, but he had just been a part of the giveaway of the Gaza Strip, and the whole nation was in an uproar. And so that was a very politically hot thing for him to say, to speak of Ariel Sharon's death. But within weeks of speaking of his death, Ariel Sharon had a stroke and was admitted to a hospital. He never recovered from the stroke. He laid in a coma for 8 years. And in 2014, Ariel Sharon passed away just a few years ago. And, of course, Kaduri said that this Messiah he met was going to come sometime after Sharon died. Now, he didn't set any dates, but he said he would not come until Sharon died. Well, Sharon died just a few years ago. Well, in the meantime, within weeks of Sharon being hospitalized, just a couple of weeks, in the same month, January 2006, Kaduri got sick and was hospitalized in the same hospital. Within a few days, he was dead. So 1 year later, as per his instructions, his note was then put on his website,
And it was a cryptic note. It basically translated in English. It says, concerning the letter abbreviation of his name, that would be Messiah, he shall lift up his people and prove that the word and the law are valid. Okay, that's a mouthful of English words. But in Hebrew, that second phrase, he shall lift his people and prove that the word and law are valid, are done with only six Hebrew words. And so the first sentence was the clue to the decrypting it, because he told them the note was going to, quote, reveal the name of the true Messiah. And so the first sentence said, concerning the letter abbreviation of his name. Well, his students already knew what he was teaching, not all of his students, but he had a select group who were open to understanding the scriptures in their fullness. And these students said, you know what? He meant to take the first letter of each of those last six words. And so they took the first letter, which is a very common, I mean, several of the Psalms are written that way. Psalm 119 is a complete acrostic of all of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Each paragraph begins with each successive letter of the alphabet. So the students saw that and they said, he's written an acrostic. He's given us the hint. So they took the first six, they took the first letter of those six words and it spelled out Yehoshua. Or that's the long-form version of what we would say, Yeshua. If we said that in English, it would be Jesus. Well, once that was revealed, that note was summarily taken down off the site by his people. They tried to cover it up. The Israeli fake news tried to cover it up. The Israeli deep state tried to cover it up. The Orthodox community tried to cover it up. But it just exploded from there, and that's where I wrote the first book. Well, as I said, since then, so much more. I can't even begin to describe it over the radio tonight, but your listeners need to get this book because now Zev Peratt's in the picture. He's directly connected to all of this. He knows the students. He is witness to the students. He's discipling the students. Many more people have come to the Lord. He knows rabbis. He has actually led a Muslim imam to Jesus Christ because of this story, and all of that is told in the book. How Zev and I met is told in the book. He has taken this story into synagogues and into rabbis who ran him out of the synagogue, but then later tracked him down and met with him privately because they were becoming believers too. And the exposure of this story of Kaduri opened their minds and hearts. There's just so much I can't even tell you. There are people of the Orthodox deep in Israel, a part of the deep state, that have come out and trashed the whole story, and we have unraveled their trashing, and we have sweetly proven them to be deep state and spreading false information, and we prove it by highly degreed reference sources. And again, the book reads like an Indiana Jones Raiders of the Lost Ark novel. I mean, it's an astounding story, and like Tom Horn says, if you didn't know that this was a true story, you would think you were reading a fictional novel. I mean, you really would. It's just the stuff that's in there is just unbelievable. But the supernatural connections, the impossible things that have happened, but they have happened. It's all referenced. It's all witnessed. And this book is going to expose it all.
Amen. Let me say this about that. Folks, you know, you heard me when I came on, and I always mentioned that Carl, you know, you have a background somewhat in law enforcement.
Yeah.
That's really important because, you know, we're talking about your references. You know, like you said, they check your references and make sure that you got it all right. You know, you know how to do the research, and you know what it means to, well, I guess put it this way, to tell the truth and be able to back it up. And so those reference points come in, you know, I believe a lot of that comes from your background in law enforcement. You know how to build a case. There you go. You know how to build a case. And so this second book has got to be fantastic, let alone Zev's story in and of itself is a pretty fantastic story, is it not?
It is. And the only place where Zev's story has ever been written down in his own words is in this new book. All of my chapters are only about 5 pages each. His story is about 5 chapters, so there's about 25 pages, but it's just riveting. Everybody that's read it, the editors, Tom, my wife,
Everybody that I had put their eyes on it to help me put this together, they all said that, oh, my gosh, Zev's story is unbelievable. But, again, it's all backed up and witnesses, and yeah. It's just all there for the world. But this is the only place anybody will find his testimony in written format in his own words.
Yeah, amen. And, you know, while you was talking, I already put this – I sent it out in a news alert. It's already on posted on the Facebook page and on the Messiah France Church page and also the Wichita Mission Church page. So, folks, you listeners, you can find a link to it real easily, and it'll come out later on tonight when it goes to podcast. As we are talking on radio, we are on the Internet at the same time, but it's not like going and clicking on it where all the links are at. Okay, wow. Carl, I'm going to switch gears. I want to talk about this a minute because it's really been bugging me. Start off with, I love that song, Baby, It's Cold Outside. You know, I've listened to that song all my life.
Yeah, me too.
It's a wonderful, if you want to call Christmas, it's a wonderful winter song or whatever, and it's great. And then you come across now, they're saying that, basically, Yahweh raped Mary. I mean, come on. These people are demonically. I mean, what do you guys, what do you think about all this?
Okay. Well, there was a professor, and this was recorded in several mainstream sources, and not only in mainstream secular sources, but in the Christian Post ran a big article on it. But it's a Minnesota professor. He's Minnesota State University. He's a professor of clinical psychology and sexuality studies, if that tells you anything. His name is Eric Spankel, okay? But I also want to tell you, he is a self-identified secularist, and he decorates his Christmas tree with satanic decor. And there's a picture of it in another tweet that he sent out. So that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a satanic professor, clinical psychology professor of sexuality studies at Minnesota State University, Eric Sprankle, but he tweeted out, and then news media picked it all up, and he tweeted out, quote, "The virgin birth story is about an all-knowing, all-powerful deity impregnating a human teen against her will. There is no definition of consent that would include that scenario. Happy holidays." Yuck. So that's where it went. And then from there, he, I think, did some interviews or maybe some more tweets. I'm not sure. I haven't read all of the reports out there on this. But the bottom line is he basically says, and these are my words now, so if people say, well, he didn't use that word, that's okay, but basically says that Mary was forcibly impregnated, raped, if you will, put upon by God, if you will, to have the Christ child, and that she tried to say no, but that God did it anyway, and that's a crime against humanity, and the God of the Bible is this evil ogre, and yet he decorates his Christmas tree with Satan. So, I mean, that tells you everything. You know, you've read Gods of Ground Zero, brother, so you know what Satan is up to. And everything he does, in one way or the other, he turns it around and blames it on God or accuses God of it. It's the same way that the leftists, whatever they do, they accuse us of doing it. I mean, it's unbelievable. That's how Satan works. So I just want to set this straight for your listeners, and I know most of your listeners know this, but let's just set this straight. The birth story, the appearance of the angel Gabriel is given in Luke chapter 1. And I'll just read it very quickly. It's only like 3 minutes. Okay, it just says, "In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town." And by the way, that phrase, "in the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy," and going back to her husband Zechariah and him operating in the course of Abijah, we can actually pinpoint, maybe not to the day, but to a very close time, the actual birthday of Jesus Christ. A lot of people don't know that the formula is in the Bible. That's another story. Maybe you and I can do that sometime. But okay. The bottom line,
it says in Luke, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive, you'll give birth to a son, you're to call him Jesus, he'll be great, will be called the Son of the Most High, et cetera, et cetera." And Mary said, "Well, how can this be? Since I'm a virgin, I have never known a man. How can it be that I'm going to become pregnant?" She was saying to the angel, "And I have no intentions of having relationships with a man until I'm married." But the angel answered, "Well, the Holy Spirit will come upon you." Now, that's the English words. I'll tell you what it means in the Greek and in the Hebrew. "And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age," et cetera, et cetera, "for no word of God will ever fail." And here's the key. Mary says, "No, I don't want this to happen to me." Right?
No.
The Bible doesn't. See, you were wondering what version of the Bible I was reading, weren't you? No. Verse 38. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be fulfilled unto me." Then the angel left her. In other words, Mary gave her explicit permission. Now, to this accusation that somehow God or the Holy Spirit or the angel had sex with Mary, that is not even hinted. The words that are there in English, I know when it says the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, those English words, you can twist them in a perverted mind to make it say that if you want to. But in the original Greek, which would have its synonymous words in Hebrew, it means something very special, completely different from sexuality. We learn throughout the scriptures that Jesus Christ was not born by the will of man. He was not born in the earthly way. He came through the womb of a woman, but that's the only earthly way he was born. He was born by the Spirit of God, the Bible says. It was a spiritual thing. Now, what do these words mean? The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And by the way, that's a Hebrew way of speaking. They both parts of that sentence mean the same thing. That's like when the Bible says there are six things God hates, yea, seven. Well, did God change his mind and say, "No, wait a minute, I thought of another one"? No, it's just a Hebrew way of repeating and emphasizing something. When something is super important, it will be repeated, emphasized, even added to, like there are six things God hates, yea, seven. Okay, well, the angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Those both mean the same thing. When you look at those words in the Hebrew, it means the same thing that happened at creation is going to happen inside your womb. God, by his power, like the Holy Spirit hovered over the face of the deep, the Holy Spirit didn't have sex with the planet. God didn't. No. The Holy Spirit, God overshadowed the face of the deep, and he spoke and said, "Let there be," and there was. So what he's telling Mary is, if you will agree to this, and Mary did agree. Mary said, "Okay, I will do it. May your word be fulfilled because I am your faithful servant." And that was a lot for her to say, because not only did it not have anything to do with sex, but now it was going to have to be explained. You know, we know what Joseph thought and how the angel had to come to him. We know what the community thought. And I mean, she knew this was going to be a great sacrifice to her. But yet she told the angel, basically, here's what she said. And the Bible doesn't say this, but here's what she said. "Go back to the throne of God and tell the Heavenly Father, I will do this." That's what she said. And what God said, what the angel said was, this power of God that created the earth by saying, "Let there be," is now going to speak to your womb and say, "Let there be the seed that will come from the woman's womb that will crush the head of Satan. Let it be in Mary's womb." Why Mary? Because she was a godly young woman who had kept herself pure and loved the Lord, and the Lord loved her. And he sent Gabriel to calm her, to give her peace, basically to ask permission. And I know you don't see the question asked in the scriptures, but the whole thing implies that the angel said, "Look, here's what God wants to do. You have been chosen. You are most favored. The creator of the universe wants to borrow your womb. He will speak
into your womb the presence of this promised seed from Genesis 3:15, if you will allow it. In verse 38, Mary said, I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled in me. Speak it into my womb. I am willing. That's what happened. That is the Immaculate Conception. That is the Incarnation. That's how it happened. There was no sex. There was God simply speaking, let it be. Does that make sense?
Makes a lot of sense, Carl. And amen. You know, what you said, there wasn't really a question. There was definitely an answer. So that, sure, you know, it was indeed a question, and she gave her permission.
Yes.
But, you know, this hatred, this evil that, you know, if Donald Trump's presidency didn't do anything else, I felt like it was just revealing, because it seems like everybody, they just all dropped their pretenses of trying to hide and just speaking whatever comes out of their mouth.
Yeah.
Well, Carl, anyway, I'm going to advertise this book, and we're going to talk again, and I know that as soon as it's possible, I'll get a copy of this book, and then I can't wait to talk about it more. Actually, I can't wait to read the book, you know, but
thanks
for being on with
thanks.
Me, Carl. I really
Thank
appreciate
you,
it.
No, my pleasure. And you're going to get a complimentary copy of the book soon. And, yes, read it. I think you're going to love it. And I'd love to come on and just tear it apart with you. We can take two or three shows if you want.
Oh,
I mean, there's enough in there. Oh, brother, there's enough in there for us to talk multiple times. I mean, because not only is the story added to, but the biblical teaching that's in there now is just mind-boggling. I think you're going to absolutely love it. So, I mean, because Zev, you know, he speaks Hebrew as his first language. So
right,
he,
yeah, that helped.
Yeah, so he just pours his insight into this story. And, I mean, when I started getting to know him and he started telling me, well, let me tell you what's really going on with this story, I felt like my first book, I was almost embarrassed by it, even though it's an awesome book and God has used it. But he told me so much more. I said, oh, my gosh, one day I've got to put this down. Well, once we started really becoming friends, and then I met Tom Horn and I was telling him about it, he says, Carl, you've got to write this. This is astounding. So I wrote it. Tom read it. He said, yep, I want you to sign the contract. I'm publishing this. And then I told you what the editor said. And so I think, and Zev has read it. And Zev says, Carl, this is like reading. This is like watching a movie. He said, when I read this book, it's like I'm watching a movie. I said, well, thank you. So I think people are really going to like
the movie. Hey, you know?
Yes. Well, you know, even if they don't, I don't care. I know it sounds like I'm beating my own drum. I'm just telling you what other people have said. Who
beating the drum of a story that needs to be told. And I understand how you feel about it. It's like people all the time. Well, thank you for this, Pastor. You're doing such a great job. No, I'm not doing anything. But you know,
that's right.
It's the Father, and the credit goes to him. But he has. He's always uses people. You know what I'm saying? And he just happens to be using you and Zev. So,
well, not comparing us to Mary and Joseph, but he used Mary. He used her womb. He used Joseph. I mean, he used the innkeeper. He used the Roman Caesar, Augustus. I mean, you're right. So if he uses me to get the story out, then all praise to Yeshua.
Okay. Well, great, Carl. I'm going to have to let you go. I got to take a couple minutes for the church, but you be blessed, brother. And well, folks, that's Carl Gallatz, and the new book is going to be The Rabbi, and it's basically The Rabbi, The Secret Message and the Identity of Messiah. This is going to be a dynamite book. But we got to talk about this. Folks, we are the last hope for so many, and we are responsible to care one for another, as we are brothers keepers. Folks, we need your help. As we are the last, there's so many people that come in, they don't have anything, they're freezing, you know, or they need food for their kid at home, or diapers, this and that. There's so many things they come to us and ask us for. And we're not a huge ministry. We're like a home church with a building. And that's really, really true. You know, it's all by faith. It's all by faith. And during the December season, you know, donations go to the floor. So we really do need your help. All donations, no matter what size, help. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart, of course. If you don't wish to help with the poor, you enjoy radio, whether it's Carl or any one of my other guests, or now you're really enjoying my wife being on, which she'll be back next week. She's at the food bank this week to, you know, help out. But you enjoy radio. We need donations for airtime. I haven't paid airtime yet this month, and I really need to pay the station. You can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all or you can, yeah, check or money order. You can call and give a donation over the telephone. You can find all the information at where? At propsjr.com. No matter what about it, you can find us at propsjr.com. Find out what you need. Phone numbers are there. You can call us and talk to us. If you wish to call or talk to my wife, I can give you, I can give you that information, or you want to talk with me about it, pray about it. We really do need your help. And folks, you need to be kind to one another. Look, we're all believers in Messiah, and we will talk about the original dates and things. And yes, there's a lot of things that are paganistic in nature of some of the holiday stuff. But look, you got to look beyond that and look towards Christ. You're not going to gain anything by being angry with each other. And there is a Satanistic attack over all believers in Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. So pray about it. Folks, remember, there is only one God, though. And who is he? He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He gave his life for repented sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And truly, through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Yeshua said that. You have to remember his words. They aren't just opinions. He is God in the flesh. Always, folks, remember to be a blessing to others. Pray for this peace of Jerusalem. That's praying for Yeshua's return. And we are told in the Word to pray for Jerusalem. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, Father, I ask in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that, Father, you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and that you would give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Till next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.